This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, 8th of December. This is episode 188. And despite me being the one with a newborn waking up at 5 a.m.
going to work
in an hour and a half, I'm not the grumpy one this morning, surprisingly enough.
I am fucking grumpy.
Pulling back the curtains. About a minute ago, Damon said I hated everything I watched.
That's the truth. I was watching this stuff, and boy, was I miserable afterward. We'll get into it. I mean, we'll get into it. There's a lot. It just seems like a real weird time. I would say the weirdest times I can ever think of being a fan of a certain pro wrestling promotion called New Japan Pro Wrestling. Very, very strange indeed.
I think it's like, it's if you are forcing yourself to watch something, you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
I think the only people who are getting enjoyment out of these tournaments are sickos like me and the people who frequent our Discord.
But here's the thing, like, I'm not going to knock you for finding pleasure out of it. I wish I was there. I wish I wasn't the grumpy one. Trust me. I was left scratching my head on more than a few occasions. More than a few occasions, I was just nodding off. More than a few times, I'm checking my phone. I don't know what the fuck for. And
it's background viewing for me. It's not something time to watch the World Tag League, stick it on, you know, sit in front of the TV, watch in full, you know, 3 hours with no interruptions. I have it on in the background while I'm eating my dinner or taking care of the kids or whatever. So I think it's something that is, for me at least, it's just background entertainment. So I find it less offensive that way.
See, I can't do that though. In the sense of I miss shit when I'm trying to pay attention to it. As much as I can, I miss shit. I can't just have it on in the background because I'll just be like, "Oh, that match is over. I didn't even fucking watch it." And then I got to rewind it and be like, "Let me actually watch it now." I can do that with other sports. I can't do that with pro wrestling. I just can't. I don't know, man. It's really hard to get excited about it out of the gate. And I appreciate all the hard work everybody's doing, but again, some of the shit was just not for me. That is for fucking sure.
Well, should we start with the good stuff?
Yes.
Something that you should be excited by.
Let's get the people.
Well, I say excited or terrified, this little tweet that popped up saying Katsuyori Shibata will be in attendance December 15th at the Best of the Super Junior World Tag League Finals. Shibata has requested to make an important announcement directly to NJPW fans.
Coming out of the closet, isn't he?
Right. Good for him.
That's what it is. He came out to his family, now he's coming out to us. And that I appreciate. Good for him.
Chappin'.
What?
Chappin' fucking. You don't remember the text? His sexting. The big scandal that was like, I don't know, was it 2017 or something? And he was texting back and forth with a lady and their sex talk was chappin'.
I have not a fucking clue what you're talking about.
What? You've never heard of the Shibata chappin'? Oh my God.
I've got to find it. Maybe now Shibata, I kind of do. Help me out. Send me something. I'll quickly read it, but I kind of remember it. Yeah, he was involved in some nonsense, wasn't he? All right.
Okay. So I'm going to have to look this up. I will look it up while we're recording. Okay. But in the meantime,
all right.
I said on Twitter, there's no middle ground here. This is either he's back full-time wrestling and I'm over the moon, or it's him retiring and I'm heartbroken and it's going to like ruin the rest of my New Japan fandom. I don't think there's anything in between. I'm sort of leaning 80% towards it being the good thing and him announcing that he's back. Yeah. But I can't rule out the possibility that it's him coming out saying, sorry, guys, I've decided to call it a day after that fun exhibition match.
Toodaloo.
I'm just going to be doing the dojo stuff full time. Peace.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on the matter?
I don't think he would announce that. Like, I don't think he would get in the ring and announce that. I think that would just be a thing they announce via social media or whatever. And then they have a retirement match maybe or something like that. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm leaning heavy on some type of active pro wrestler, as in he might have a match at any one of the Dome shows, all three of the, you know, two of the Dome shows, the Yokohama show, whatever. But I don't know exactly what that'll look like. Again, do I expect him to be a touring pro wrestler? No, but I expect him to be. I expect this announcement to be something along those lines. I would hope. Because guess what? I can't. Well, all right. First and foremost, it's not like we've seen him a ton. But I will say that when we have seen him, it's been the most exciting thing that we talk about, right? When he shows up or he's involved or there's something involving that man, we are into it. So if it is a retirement announcement, again, which I don't think it is, and I will say people have been kind of tight-lipped about it too, but I'm confident it's a positive as opposed to him stepping away. Fingers crossed, of course.
What do you think would be an appropriate comeback match for him?
Huh.
If we're going to lean all in on the positivity, okay. I think this is him coming out saying, I'm back and I'm going to wrestle so-and-so at Wrestle Kingdom.
You're thinking like a Kenta?
That would make sense storyline-wise.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Can I quote you? Can I quote these things?
Yeah, please do. So these are translated Shibata text to back and forth with a lady.
Yes. Shibata apparently. Your vag was kind of wetting. The reply was because your gaze turns me on. And apparently, the female, I'm in my period now, so I can't send mine. I guess nudes. It was really good. Too bad to hear that, but I understand your situation. He's been there before. Yeah. I was so sad that I couldn't get off my phone. Have you washed your vag? There it is, Chapin Chapin. I've washed my vag. What does Chapin Chapin mean?
I think it's some sort of onomatopoeia sound for, you know, like the
spick and span. Sort
of bodies, yeah, bodies slapping against bodies, maybe.
Have you ever had a girl send you a text that says, I've washed my vag? That's a positive sign. And like Shibata is very, very casual about it. So, good to hear, he puts. Good to hear. Girl, I want to do chapping with you right now. I guess fucking, right? Yeah, slapping. Yeah, slapping. Balls against. Anyway, really. Well, good for him. Good for him. Have you watched?
Don't read all the way to the end, Damon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Just more. I didn't click. I want to do chapping with you right now, says the young lady. Shibata, same here. He's very casual. And then the girl, just right to the point, goes right to the crux. I want to fuck. All right. That's a message you want to say. Imagine getting that around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Just getting that text. I want to fuck. God bless. But look.
And then the response, which is probably my favorite.
I don't have the response.
Exchange.
I don't have the response.
You do.
Oh, there it is.
So, girl.
Girl.
I want to fuck.
Yeah. Oh, you want to do a reading? Why don't we start from the... I'll start Shibata part, and you play the role of the young lady. I'll do Shibata. I was so sad that I couldn't get off my phone. Have you washed your vag, chappin' chappin'?
I've washed my vag, chappin' chappin'.
Good to hear.
I want to do chappin' with you right now.
Oh, same here.
I want to fuck.
Chappin' fucking.
I mean, look, we love Shibata as a wrestler. You know, that match with Okada, one of the greatest matches of all time, in my opinion. But
it's text game.
It's hard to argue against the best thing him having ever created, it being chappin' fucking.
Chappin' fucking. You know what? I'm going to make a Spotify playlist right now. Chappin' fucking. That's great. See, I remember this now. This was they were on the bus or something like that. Like they were touring this is when he was making fun of fans, wasn't it? Didn't he do that too? Wasn't he that guy?
I can't remember.
I think he was. I think he was the guy that was making fun of fans because that isn't that the same girl who dined on him?
Yes, I think so.
Right. Now this is all 4 year old, right? Right. Yeah. Oh, see, there you go. Chappin' fucking. Oh, Shibata. Maybe he got hit in the head too hard, right? Maybe Okada just clunked him in the head too hard, and he's firing off these kind of texts. Oh, look, I think I'm going to save this picture because this is one of the greatest things I've ever read out loud in my life. I felt good about that. That felt good. I felt like a good reading. I feel like we could turn it into a sitcom or something. Shibata chappin' fucking. Brought to you by Verizon.
And you know, all our listeners, their loved ones, their partners, their lovers, when they get a cheeky little text saying, oh, I can't wait to see you tonight, or I want to fuck, all of you, every single one of you listeners, are going to want to reply saying, chappin' fucking.
Yeah.
Do it.
If you don't, you're...
And let us know how it goes.
Do it. Let us... Yeah, here's what I want everyone to do. Let's have
screenshots.
Some fun. Yep, screenshots. You can send them to Joel. And again, let us know if you want us to share. We don't have to share, but or if you just want it for our
keep
amusement.
It anonymous.
Yep, keep it anonymous. Let us know how that goes. Just if it gets if it gets to the point where you're thinking you could pull it off. I mean, just don't randomly do that because you know they'll be like, "What are you talking about?" But you know, if you get a little, "Hey, you look good today. Oh, good. Like you know, boom," and then you chuck that one in. Screenshot, boom, send it our way, and we'll have interpretive readings, and that'll be great. That'll make what's going to put me in a good mood? Getting those. I will be peeing my pants.
All right, well, let's get into these tournaments.
I'm going to send one to Cheryl right now, I think. Fuck that. I'm sending fucking Chapin. She'll be like, I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm gonna send it to her right now. All right, here's what I'm gonna do. Let's do this.
If I sent that to Mally now,
yeah,
who's currently
send it right
sleeping?
Now. No, we got to do it at the same time.
A baby on either side of her, she would probably get out of bed and come in and strangle me.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Just for waking her up.
And I'll send you the screenshot. Chappin. You got to send it to her. Come on. Chappin'.
Can I wait till she's awake at least?
Oh, yeah. Don't wake her up.
During the work.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Let me just get to Chappin'. Now, it changed it to Chaplin. Charlie Chappin' fucking. All right. Chappin' and fucking. I'm sorry. All right. I'll send it. Boom. And I'll screenshot you. Just to confirm that I sent it. Save photos, and we'll send it away. This is great radio, isn't it?
Damon sends a text.
Damon sends a text, and I send you the screenshot. All right, that should do it. Boom. There it is. Confirmed that I did it, and I'll send you the response as I get it. Exciting news here on the Super J-Cast.
It's top quality drama.
Yep.
Okay, so best of the Super Juniors then. In the field currently, we have Sho, who's still on top with 12 points. We've got Despy and Hiromu breathing down his neck with 11. Yo, Robbie Eagles, El Fantasmo, Taiji Ishimori with 10. Bushi, Taguchi, Kanemaru on 8. Watto on 6. And Doki on 4. So, I mean, my attitude towards this tournament. It reminds me a bit of the Arsenal summer of 2003.
Me too.
We narrowly lost the league the year before, and everyone's like, we need to buy a load of new players so we can challenge Man United. But we didn't. We brought in a few sort of low-key signings. We brought in an experienced goalkeeper. We moved one of our young central midfielders to centre-back. So just very, very minor tweaks, veteran coming in and just moving things about slightly. And then that season, we were incredible. We went the whole season unbeaten. Now, I'm not saying that this best of the Super Juniors is an all-timer, but what I mean is there's just been like a couple of little tweaks, a couple of returns, and I think this is, for me, the floor is very, very high here. I don't think there's been anything bad that I've seen so far. If I just sort of take a match at random, an opening match from the recent show I watched, like Doki versus Ishimori,
right?
This is a really good match. These guys have got very good chemistry, technical levels extremely high. These guys know each other. They all know each other well. They've all wrestled each other plenty of times before. So you don't have that situation that you do sometimes when you've got new wrestlers coming in where they're not quite clicking. They're not quite on the same wavelength. These guys, they've all had plenty of experience wrestling each other before. So they're going out there and putting on really good stuff. The problem is, it feels ice cold because it's in front of clap crowds and no one's watching. There's no buzz. So it's on, the actual in-ring stuff that they're delivering, I think, is really good, but no one's getting excited about it, which is, fair enough. You can't argue against that. That's something we've said it to death. There's not really much more analysis you can offer over this clap crowd stuff. We're just, everyone's working hard. We're also missing the buzz of real high-end matches. Like, it's, again, another analogy. It's like a delicious cake with a moist, perfectly baked sponge, but plain icing. No cherry on the top. Oh, maybe like a Victoria sponge. Very nice cake, but no one's getting excited about it. No one's talking about a Victoria sponge, except for sickos. So, and look, to be honest, like New Japan, they're not even updating their own fucking website with the results.
Yeah.
So they're not doing themselves any favours there. So good tournament, but nobody cares.
I would say yes. Okay. So if we were to say, okay, let's take out all the clap crowd, all that struggle, all the headache, and just said purely on match bell to bell. Yeah, these have been good. They haven't been great. They've been good. But with nothing that I will remember, not only next week, but 5 minutes after I watch. It's fine pro wrestling, good pro wrestling, solid pro wrestling. Nothing bad, no fuck-ups, nothing horrible, nothing to laugh at. Just good pro wrestling in – that means absolutely nothing. I hate to say it. That means absolutely nothing because I feel like anyone could dial in on maybe the finals or the semifinals and feel completely content with, okay, I'm all caught up on New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? Like, what has been the major takeaways to this tournament so far, Joel?
Well, I've got my bullet points here.
Okay.
Are you inviting me to go through them?
By all means, because okay. I'm dying to find this one out.
Okay, so these are just random notes that I've made while watching. I'm not going to go wrestler by wrestler, match by match, anything like that. So, first of all, Young Lions. These Young Lions are nasty. They seem nastier and edgier than previous Young Lion classes. Like, the match that stuck in my mind was Oiwa against Nakashima. Just a little moment that's going to stick with me where Oiwa has Nakashima on the ground. I think he might have had him in a full mount position, and he's just battering Nakashima with forearms and elbows, and then just the time's ticking away, 10 seconds left, he pins him, Nakashima kicks out, and then he just pins him again just out of desperation. And it just made it seem like Oiwa getting this win in the curtain jerk at Twin Messi Shizuoka South Hall was like the most important thing in the world to him. So I want to throw them a bit of love for just going out there in these, random ass arenas in front of clap crowds, wrestling like their life depends on it, which is, to me, impressive. Okay. So I want to throw the Young Lions a bit of love.
Let me address that. I agree with that. I agree with the fact that they go out there and they bust their ass with what amounts to maybe four moves and captivate for 10 minutes. What does it mean in the end? Because anything that we see here is a five-year payoff. And yes, it's good to be there at the ground floor. It's good to be there as we go along for the ride with the young lions. We always say it. But let's be very honest here. This is not going to bear any fruit until 4 or 5 years from now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a low bar to clear, but they didn't waste my time. They didn't make me regret watching it.
Okay.
So they entertained me. As for what it is, you know, opening 10-minute match, I came away from it impressed, which I think is...
Yeah, you're not going to get that anywhere else. Yeah, I would agree.
Okay.
That's fine.
You want my next take? Okay, point two. Let's talk about Despy. So this is, of course, the junior heavyweight champion. We're going to talk El Desperado time. There's a tweet from our friend J. Michael, who's at Ryugu_Joe on Twitter. After 9 matches, Despy has 3 hours, 6 minutes, 19 seconds of ring time. That puts him second all time for best of the Super Juniors after Ospreay's 2019, which clocked in at just over 3 hours, 7 minutes. Hiromu did 3 hours, 2 minutes last year. For G1, he's behind only Okada's 2019, which is 3 hours, 19, just over that, and 2021, 3 hours, 32, which is just a monstrous tournament from Okada, and Naito's 2020, which is 3 hours, 27. So that's all the people in the 3-hour tournament club. So
great.
The best of the Super Juniors, Despy, Ospreay, Hiromu, and then G1's Okada and Naito. So he is in elite company here, and this shows that, one, I think this is something that I hope will come out in our end of year awards, but Despy also needs to get flowers thrown at him because he is the man now, and he has been booked like the man, and the company are leaning on him like he's the man in these tournaments. He's got lots of main events, he's getting lots of time, and I feel he is going out there and conducting himself and wrestling like a champion. And it's nice to see that he is not a mid-level junior anymore. He looks, to me, looks and feels like a big deal in this division.
Okay. I'm going to give point counterpoint. He is there so that he does a lot. And again, I am tipping my cap. I appreciate it. I'm applauding. But I'm stating what it is. He is there to keep that belt warm for Hiromu to win, right?
That, you know, if you put the gun to my head, probably, okay. Yes.
All right. 3 hours, he's in rare air. He's shaving time off of clocks. And again, I tip my cap for doing the heavy lifting during a time when people are struggling, watching and keeping interest. Give me, if you would, Joel, your top moments from El Desperado in this Best of the Super Juniors. Fire away. You got 3 hours worth of content to sift through. I'm sure the list is massive. But if you could, that long list, again, up there with Naito and Okada, I mean, the biggest names in the company. Delivering, just spending hours upon hours in the ring. What were those top moments from El Desperado that everyone's clamoring about, that everyone's talking about?
Well, that's just the thing. I told you, no one's talking about this stuff. This is just me and other losers like me talking about it. The Hiromu match, I thought, was brilliant. Of course, their matches are always great. As it went to the time limit draw, I thought that was very dramatic and not something I expected the way the match started. So that I thought was really enjoyable. He's done a good job in putting other people over, like the way Sho and actually more recently Yo. I was very surprised that Yo managed to get the win over him. And I thought that was a really good match as well. And I've also very much enjoyed his matches against his Suzuki-gun buddies. And this is the thing about Despy, like he can fluidly change from being the babyface main eventer one night to the healing control the next, depending on who's wrestling against. So there's not many guys in the division have that range or that freedom, and it's often Suzuki-gun being given those chances. So in years gone by, Best of the Super Junior Suzuki Goon versus Suzuki Goon matches have been full of bullshit, but this year, when Despy's gone up against Kanemaru and Doki, they have gone all out and beat the shit out of each other, which has been great.
Yes, I agree. Again, I don't want this to be a thing where I don't think that what he's doing in the ring isn't worthy of my time. That's not it at all. The challenge I'm having is that this is, I don't want to say it's meaningless, because that's not fair. I'm missing on, and it's every year, don't get me wrong. And we could say the same thing for World Tag League, and we could say the same thing for New Japan Cup to a certain degree. Now, you know, I can't even say that about New Japan Cup, because New Japan Cup to me is one and done. And I kind of like that idea of a tournament. Sometimes the points thing gets to be a drag, because once again, it's that a little bit of same old when it comes to, okay, here's a guy everybody thinks is going to win, starts out cold as ice, heats up toward the end to make it interesting and to keep everybody competitive and to keep the numbers kind of close, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes I really don't like the points format. I like just one and done tournament. Look, Joel, it's not like I disagree with any of your points, 100%. I feel like I'm at the point where I need something that matters. And I'm finding that struggle.
It's the same roster that we've been watching wrestle each other for what, coming up to 3 years now.
Yeah,
you know, we need some new blood in there. We need a bit of freshness, a bit of excitement. Something needs to happen, and you know, they've tried, you know, with the show heel turn and all that, but I think they're doing the best that they can given the circumstances. But at the same time, I can't blame anyone for not being excited about it, because it's not exciting. I'm enjoying it, but I'm not excited by it.
Right, right. I guess I think that sums it up perfectly. I'm enjoying it, but I'm not excited by it. Yeah, it's like an unenthusiastic hand job that we're getting right now. You know? Nobody, you know what I mean? Nobody's going to complain that you're getting a hand job, but it's like, can you just like make it look like you're into it somewhat? That's what we're getting.
Can we just look at me, please?
Yeah, just tell me I'm sexy or something. I don't know. Say something sexy.
Maybe put the MacBook away while you're doing that.
Yeah. Stop watching Hot Ones, please.
All right. Well, I'll go through the rest of my points anyway. I want to talk about Yo, his gear, which is just like a big baggy white sweater. It's a choice. But yeah, he's having this rejuvenation. And like I said, he beat the champion, beat El Desperado. I think he is a very underrated wrestler. And he's having a low-key good tournament. I know he was overlooked and people were more concentrating on show than Yo, and he seemed like a bit of an afterthought. But if you're actually watching his matches, I think there's really good stuff there. He's like a less flashy Sanada, but without the flaws. It's all more polished. The emotion's there, and the sloppiness is not. So I would love to see something happen with Yo, because I think he's a really talented wrestler, and he would deserve better than just being sort of, I don't know, the next Bushi or whatever. Although Bushi got a junior heavyweight title reign at one point, so maybe that wouldn't be so terrible.
Do you think Yo will ever be a champion?
I mean, if they keep having to have the same fucking 10 guys on the roster for the next few years, then sure, why not?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I think they missed a boat on him. I don't know, maybe they're every time I want to say that they're ready for him, it just doesn't happen. He's a guy that I think people struggle with too. We love to praise New Japan's booking and especially, well, maybe not in recent years, but there's still stuff that you can hang your hat on. Man, there are times where they just miss the boat. I think Yo's one of them. I remember people, and again, mind you, this was in Discord, but like they people like Yo. People were more high on people were more bullish on Yo than they were with Show. I find that I agree with that to a certain degree, but man, New Japan certainly does. That's for fucking sure. Woo. He's lost right now.
Well, let's talk about Show then. Now you've mentioned him, and it's been interesting. Like he started off with this dominant run, and he's still top of the pile. Lest we forget. But with this new House of Torture gimmick, and he's whacking people in the head with wrenches and cheating to get the wins, but he is starting to slip up. And they were sort of telling the story where he can get the advantage over the baby faces, you know, wind them up, get in their heads, beat them, and the cheating gives him an edge over the good guys. But he can't outfox the more crafty guys, yeah. the veteran heels, guys like Kanemaru or El Fantasma. Who've been there, done that. They know all the tricks in the books. And Show, what I enjoyed about this book is it's like, okay, he's turned heel, he's a bad guy now, but he hasn't turned into a genius overnight. And that's, I think, something that rubbed me the wrong way with Evil Turn, that suddenly he's able to outsmart, you know, a load of guys on the roster that he really shouldn't be able to. We're just the same shit every night. But Show is trying that, but against these craftier guys, he's coming unstuck. And that was going to be my angle until Robbie Eagles managed to beat him. So thanks, Robbie, for torpedoing my analysis. But yeah, they, you know, say what you will about the interference. I'm going to say it, Damon. I think this House of Torture show is more interesting than Chaos Babyface show. I'm not saying the matches are better, but I'm saying from a character standpoint, it's more interesting. I like the silly faces. They are very, very silly faces. I know you hate them.
I
understand he's got to do that to sort of project. It's like theatre. You've got to project the emotions to the people in the crowd sitting at the back. So I understand why the silly faces are there. I find them quite entertaining. I said on Twitter, he looks like a clown. He looks like the clown from Test Card F. So I am actually quite enjoying his matches. I reserve the right to stop enjoying him after 2 years of ref bumps and wrench shots. But for now, it's an interesting new dynamic to the junior division in general and this tournament. And I mean, we should talk about the finished ELP versus Show in a minute. I'll talk about that when we talk about ELP, but that was really something. So I'm going to leave that as the hook. But yeah, House of Torture Show, I don't hate it.
I'm not there. I here's the thing. What's I find frustrating is the idea of, I guess let's put it this way. And maybe this is a terrible example, probably is, but fuck it, we're going this way anyway. I know that 9 times out of 10, during an Abdul the Butcher match, I know what I'm getting, and it's probably not going to be for me, but it's going to be that way from the get-go. Right? It's going to be that way from the jump. He's going to go through the crowd. He's going to bleed all over everybody. He's going to do a little with his lips thing. He's going to have those big fucking bug eyes. He's going to stab somebody with something. And it's probably going to end in a disqualification. We know this. Yet there is some level of enjoyment to that occasionally. Okay, so we have that picture. We'll set it aside. Now with Show, we have a guy who gets in there and has great pro wrestling matches. Rachel, he has great pro wrestling matches. In his career, should I say. So he's had great pro wrestling matches in his career.
That nobody cares about.
He now has very good pro wrestling matches as this shitbag heel where, again, for 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever the fuck we go, we have pro wrestling matches that are very good. And then it ends in shit. Like, if he just came in there and just cheated all the way through and, you know, went fucking all in on the gimmick of being the shitbag, instead of 10 minutes, 15 minutes of let's be honest here, for the majority of it, babyface pro wrestling. And then shitbaggery, shithousery, whatever. Just, I'd rather House of Torture be that. I'd rather House of Torture be Abdul the Butcher as opposed to 95%, you know, I don't know, pick a babyface working in, you know, Rick Martel, and then 5% Abdul the Butcher. Does that make any sense, Joel?
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, you want it to be consistent, so you know what you're getting with them. But I'm probably going to be in the minority here. I'm enjoying the little dynamic and the drama when I see him wrestling these tournament matches of, is he going to work? You know, is the babyface, or in a lot of cases in this tournament, the heel going to manage to overcome him? And I think some of these closing sequences have been quite entertaining, like the Kanemaru one where they're throwing the referee at each other and dodging out of the way, and the El Fantasmo one, which, again, we'll come on to very, very soon. And, you know, Robbie Eagles trying to fight against the odds. I don't know, it's working for me, but...
I'm sending you stuff, yes.
If he was just babyface chaos wrestler show, then I probably wouldn't care about the finishes of those matches. You know, I wouldn't give a shit about whether or not Kanemaru can beat him or whether El Fantasmo can beat him. But now that he is a shitbag, I am actively cheering for the guy against him. So, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
What have you sent me?
All right. Being that we're talking...
Chris Elliott as Marlon Brando collection on Letterman.
Say that again, please, for our audience, please.
Chris Elliott as Marlon Brando collection on Letterman, 1987.
So, let me paint a picture for you here, Joel. As a youngster, growing up in the summertime, I would stay up very, very late. Very late. Because I had no school, and I just stayed up very late, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, watching TV, listening to college university radio. I would watch David Letterman. David Letterman was a late night chat show. Like 12:30 it came on. And he would Letterman I loved. And he had a writer by the name of Chris Elliott who did some movies. Did Cabin Boy, I think it was one of them. And then he did this bit where he was playing Marlon Brando. I want you to tell me, if you can guess, what pro wrestler looks exactly like him? And I saw it and I was like, holy shit, that's fucking Chris Elliott as Marlon Brando in the ring right now. Who could that be?
Is it ELP?
That's ELP, right?
It really does look like
it. It really does, right? It really does. So if you, anybody, you could tweet that out if you like, Joel. But if anybody would like to Google or YouTube those bits, they are rather good. But yes, that is fucking ELP. Thank you very much.
Right, so ELP then. Here's a hot take. I think he's been one of the best wrestlers in this tournament. And I know we talked last week about him possibly making that transition to being a heavyweight. Mm-hmm. I think he is a guy who, if you were to tell him tomorrow, right, ELP, you're now a babyface, you know, go out there and have killer tie-in matches, he could absolutely do it. And he is just, in this tournament, he's dipping his toes into that tweener zone. So there's a finish to this show match, which I know you're going to shit all over, so I'll hand you the floor afterwards, where he kicks Show in the nuts with a loaded boot. And it's so painful that Show's just writhing around on the floor and just taps out. I thought that was hilarious. The Taguchi match with El Fantasmo, he spent about 5 minutes just showboating to the crowd. It was part of the story of the match, but this is a guy who knows how to entertain a crowd. And he also knows how to wind up the crowd. And this is, these increasingly ludicrous boot finishes are becoming a real guilty pleasure. I know I should hate it, and I know you do hate it, but I kind of love it, and I am enjoying El Fantasmo in this tournament a lot more than I thought I would.
Well, we're wondering why New Japan Pro Wrestling's viewership is down. I'm gathering some of it has to do with this. Let's play pro wrestler now. So I'm Sho, and I get hit with a low blow, right? Which we've seen countless, even Kevin Kelly.
No, a low blow with a loaded boot. Don't forget he's got the sudden death, super strong foot thing going on.
Yes, of course. How could I forget? So he gets hit with this gimmicked fucking foot. Okay, right square in the family jewels. The Frank and Beans, if you will. So down goes Show, and he taps out. Now, we've seen, pick your favorite finisher. Pick your favorite death-defying high spot. Pick whatever you want. And we've seen people kick out countless times. We've seen people get dropped on their fucking head countless times. We've seen it all. Now, again, we're going to get hit in the nuts with a foreign object, which we've seen a million times as well. Either we have to do a thing where Sho is completely out of this tournament, that it was such a – you literally popped his testicle like it was a grape. Or this is a nonsense finish, which it was. Your Sho, you get hit in the nuts. Can I ask you a serious question? Why would you tap out?
Because you're unable to continue. You're in so much agony that, you know, you just want to curl up and vomit, and you've got no desire to continue.
You can't move. You can't roll out of the ring. You can't try to recover. You can't, you're that devastated that you tap out. I'm playing kayfabe fucking Pro Wrestling Illustrated now. You're that hurt that you can't roll out of the ring. Again, you're a seasoned pro wrestler, right? You are hit so hard by a kick. Again, it could be loaded with steel. I get it. Okay. In the nuts. So terrible that you couldn't roll out of the ring. You had to tap out. Really?
Yes, I mean this is the diseased brain of House of Torture Sho. There's no logic anymore.
It's he's just
you can't predict what he's going to do, Damon. He's snapped. He's lost it. He got tired of Roppongi 3K losing all the time, and now nothing he does makes sense anymore.
I mean, even Kevin Kelly was like, I have never seen that in all my years of pro wrestling, and I don't think he was saying that in, oh my God, look at the groundbreaking, you know, revolutionary thing we just saw in pro wrestling. He was sitting there in his comfy chair, probably in his boxer briefs. Well, there's a sight. By the way, I've noticed Kevin Kelly, he's gotten a little gray. He's kind of let the grays come in. Have you noticed that?
I can't tell that I have. I did see that he said he's probably going to be spending most of next year in Japan. He's going to be there basically Wrestle Kingdom to New Japan Cup. So
really, well, okay.
Woof.
Yeah,
we appreciate it, but that's not easy, is it?
No, it is not.
Being away from the family for that long.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably sick of him. They're probably like, they're driving him to the airport. Get out! fuck out!
Bye, Dad.
Yeah, see ya. He's lucky he gets a hug going out the door.
Sure, you don't want to stay for Kizuna Road. They need you there.
Yeah, they might need you there. Yeah. I don't know, man. That finish was just even. And again, as I was saying, even Kevin Kelly was. He was like, "Wow, here's where we're going." Look, I think ELP has through all this, right, has been at least making the most out of this situation, doing what he's doing. More than I can think of anyone else. Like, he's like, to me, he's a guy that just does not give a fuck in pro wrestling sense. Like, he's thinking so much about this, making it feel like he doesn't give a fuck that he's probably more serious about this than anything else in his life. Like, it feels just like a guy who's going to have. He's going to do whatever the fuck he wants to do and win however he wants to win. I don't know if this is captivating, but yes, for a mindless Sho in the middle of wherever, is this a little bit of a breath of fresh air? I guess, Joel. But to me, that finish was just hokey as fuck. Made no sense from a pro wrestling perspective. And I just, like, at first I had to rewind. Well, Kevin Kelly's like, that's it. Show taps out. And I had to look it back up at the TV because I was not paying attention.
Yeah, me too. Really? I did exactly the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what did he tap out to? I didn't even see what he, you know, usually there's a struggle. I was just like, what's, is this a new finisher? Or what? And I had to, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Oh my God. But I will.
I think it's important that I made you watch it, so at least we could have this conversation rather than me describing it to you and you going, oh, that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. Well, I don't think even watching it could do it. It's just, you know, it's both equally preposterous. But okay. The one thing that I did write down that I did get from this, I will say, and just like you said before, like, you have to, like, it feels like show has to learn. Like, he was such, like, the ultimate babyface that he has to learn to be a heel. And the true heels, like, the true heels will get a one-up on him, right? The people who are true to the heel way of life, know all the tricks, know all the shortcuts, they are always getting the upper hand on him because, let's be truthful, he is a babyface. And everyone knows it, and no one takes any of this fucking House of Torture bullshit seriously with him. They just don't. Seeds being laid, planted for more Bullet Club House of Torture split up thing, right? That's what we're doing here?
I think so. That's the feeling I've got from this tournament and the G1 as well, that the House of Torture has kind of pushed Bullet Club further away from the heel end of the spectrum and more towards the tweener end of the spectrum. It's like all the factions have kind of been bumped up a bit. So Suzuki-gun feel like, I don't know, are they even neutrals anymore? They feel more babyface leaning than heel leaning for me. So yeah, just everything's been pushed along a bit by House of Torture.
You like House of Torture, don't you?
No, I don't.
Not good for this company.
Stop. I want to reserve judgment until we stop getting the clap crowds, because, you know, maybe this is the kind of thing that a red hot domestic crowd might absolutely love. And, you know, if there's 12,000 people in a Sakajo Hall stamping their feet and cheering for whoever to overcome show or evil or whoever it is, then maybe I might enjoy it more. But at the moment, I don't love it, but it doesn't ruin my enjoyment of New Japan. Okay. And in some cases, it enhances it.
Okay. All right. You're being honest. I like that. I hate it and I wish it would go away. And that's exactly where I feel. All right.
All right. I'm going to continue to pull out more of your teeth here because I want to talk about Taguchi, who... Oh. I have been also enjoying a lot this tournament. And here's another hot take. I think he's more entertaining than Yano. He's funnier than him.
Oh,
he
yes.
makes me laugh more than Yano. His matches are better than Yano.
Yes.
And particularly, I want to single out his match he had with Hiromu, where their sort of broken brain chemistry just sort of met on the right wavelength. Like, remember last year, they had a match that I absolutely loved where they did all the shenanigans at first and then Taguchi just got pissed off and his face switched and he got really angry with Hiromu, and then they had like a proper fucking hard-hitting wrestling match, and that was amazing. This time, because I was watching this match, I circled it on the calendar because I know they've got good chemistry. They went and had an entire match that revolved around roll-ups, just back and forth roll-ups, and I found it really, really entertaining. I thought it was funny. I thought Taguchi and ELP was really funny. He's just a really... The guy, I think, who his sense of humor is much more in line with what I find funny than whatever Yano does.
Yeah, he does dick jokes. He's great. I think Taguchi is 1,000 times better than Yano. I think Taguchi is vastly underrated. And I think Taguchi is vastly underutilized. And I would rather watch a Taguchi match than a Yano match any day of the fucking week. And once again, in a big spot, a guy who does maybe this twice a year where we need you to be in a big spot to go, he can do it. And again, interweave some of that comedy stuff. Like, to me, he does comedy right. Like, I feel like he does comedy matches well, because he also incorporates really good matches in that. Like, he's able to weave that in and out very well. That's not an easy thing to do. You know, we do hand wave the comedy stuff to a certain degree on this show. He can weave in the good match with the comedy. No, I got no problem with that. And remember I said there were people that I think were head and shoulders and interesting, more interesting than anything else in this. He's one of them. There are two guys, actually. He was one of them. So it's funny that you did mention that, because I've enjoyed him. I can't say across the board, but more times than not, I've enjoyed Taguchi more than I have maybe in recent years in this tournament.
Yeah, you mentioned that there about people you're enjoying. If I had to pick someone who I think, sort of in terms of pure wrestling, who has been the most outstanding wrestler in this tournament, it's got to go to Robbie Eagles.
Thank you very much.
Like, wherever you put him on that card, whether he's in the main event or the opening tournament match, he is out there just having, you know, near flawless technical wrestling matches. The he can do legwork better than anyone else in the company, dare I say it. Any other time I see high profile wrestlers trying to have leg matches, I'm rolling my eyes. But he's able to do it when he does do it. And, you know, it's not every week, but when he does do it, it's always on point and the psychology makes sense. And yeah, just wherever you stick him on the cards, he's going out there just meshing with everyone and just putting on a bloody great show.
Robbie Eagles has had a low key great year. I think he's got to be in the mix for a lot of the awards that we do, like over and above Junior. Like, I would think maybe even most improved or underappreciated guy.
Unsung, yeah, yeah, for getting on the fucking plane.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's in the mix doing it. He had a pretty great car crash match with Doki. I thought that I enjoyed that match. Yeah, he's been a solid MVP of this tournament. He's been a solid pick for me. Two guys, you nailed it. Same two guys that I've enjoyed thoroughly. Robbie Eagles, Taguchi. Yep, 100%.
All right, the last person I want to talk about is Watto, who I think is a completely different wrestler to 18 months ago when he first appeared. Now, he still looks like an absolute plonker, don't get me wrong, but his confidence is tangibly high, and that's reducing the botches. It feels like he's not overthinking things anymore. He's wrestling like a man who believes that he belongs there in that New Japan ring. And I think people are going to catch on eventually. You might not be with me now, but don't dig your heels in, because I think that it's turning with Watto. The Hiromu match, Hiromu versus Watto, that might have been Watto's best singles match ever. And I've said that a few times this year, which speaks to the improvements that I think Watto's making. And again, that wasn't largely down to Hiromu. Watto was very, very good, completely on his own terms. But in addition to that, they had great chemistry and a building frenzy and intensity to the match that I thought was really compelling. So even though Watto lost, I thought it was a performance that made me think there's potential that he could be a top junior in the future. Oh. But it is the gimmick. The gimmick needs to change before that can happen, because, I mean, he's a blue boy, Damon. That's not a gimmick. That's just a colour. You can't choose a colour and say that's your personality.
Say that to Brian Heffron.
and the haircut as well. And I know people might get annoyed, and I think it's an ironic love for the "I'd like to speak to the manager" haircut. But for in-ring stuff, I thought Watto has been very good this tournament. And this Hiromu match, I thought, was a bit of a coming out party for him.
What do you attribute to his growth here? Is it the fact that he's not trying to make it to the fucking Grandmaster or whatever the fuck that was? Like, what's the deal here? Why is he turning the corner here? Because I agree. I feel like there is something that's giving me hope for him. I don't know if he's, you know, Mr. Confidence now, but it's better than it was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago. What do you think the biggest difference has been?
I just think getting the reps in, to be honest. I mean, how old is this guy? He's still really young. He's got to be, what, in his early 20s? Let me look it up exactly. But definitely, yeah, he's 24. So that's a lot younger than most of the other guys on this roster. And I think it's just a case of getting in those higher-end matches where he is required to go longer. And, you know, he's had a few of these on Road 2 shows. I remember a really outstanding match he had with Robbie Eagles earlier in the year. And I think it's just a case of going out there and having 20-minute matches where things go right. And he can look back on that and thinking, yeah, that was good. I can do this. I don't need to. And I just feel that early on he was overthinking things and worrying about stuff too much. And that was causing him to flub things that he knows how to execute. Right. You know, he's got the same training as everyone else. He's done his time at the dojo. He knows how to do this stuff. I just think maybe he sort of dialed it back a bit. Some of the more ambitious sort of lucha style spots, maybe he's kind of toned those down a bit and sort of keeping it a bit more basic. But I feel saying that would be doing a disservice because these are not basic matches. He's going out there and he's executing some really complicated stuff. So yeah, to answer your question, I just think getting the reps in, getting the experience.
I still have money on him, you know. I still haven't taken off the money off the table of him being a major star in this company. He's got a little ways to go, but I remember him going on excursion, and I was like, this guy's going to be big. I was like, this guy's going to be headlining the fucking dome. Well, we got a long way to go. But, yeah, it still does this year feel, maybe it's, as weird as this may sound, maybe the clap crowds help a guy like him. Where it's not in front of a packed house, and it's not in front of, you know, eyes that are waiting for him to fuck up, and you know, maybe just a little bit more relaxed atmosphere, so he can get those reps in. Again, not everybody's going to come out of the gate flying, and sometimes people struggle, and sometimes people fucking get anxiety going through that curtain, and you know, yeah, you're right, he's fucking up shit that you know he can do. You know he could do in his sleep. You might have something there, Joel. You might have something there. And I think maybe sometimes these, you know, quiet crowds and low crowds and just what the doctor ordered. You know, sometimes maybe that's it. And again, the gimmicks things too. Yeah, he needs. But I will say this too. New Japan, man, they dig their fucking heels in on that. Like they're worse than Vince when it comes to that shit. Like, they don't give up on gimmicks for a long... They keep going. I mean, Evil's probably the biggest example of that in modern times. But, yeah, it's going to be something. You know what, though? I will say this, though. They did have balls when it came to Naito. You know, Naito, a much different guy, you know, 8 years ago. That's for fucking sure. So at least they had the guts to do that. And even guys like, there's plenty of guys. I'm trying to now. Yujiro is one of them. Speaking of Naito. Maybe not for the better. But, you know, you get my point. So, yeah, they could do that. Maybe I was a little off in saying they completely dig their heels in because they have changed people up a little bit.
I was about to move on to World Tag League, but I was just looking through the Best of the Super Juniors roster, and I would feel bad if I didn't single out Taiji Ishimori for a bit of praise. Yeah. And also, I think he's having a low-key good year as well. He'd be someone I think should be in the mix for Unsung, because he's just quietly gone about his business and delivering, I think, matches consistently higher quality than he has done in previous years. In previous years, he's been a bit patchy, you know, so you can go out and have a match of the year quality match, but then he's had some matches that have been absolute stinkers, but he hasn't done that this year. I think he's been really good, whether it's been doing single stuff or tag stuff, and I think he's been very, very good in this tournament as well. But people haven't really noticed him because he's not been put in high profile spots.
Yeah, I like his tag stuff a little bit better, actually. I thought that was a decent junior tag, you know. I mean, we've seen a lot of it. Seems like it was the only option people had at this point, you know, between them and Despy and Kanemaru, and you know. But yeah, I like his tag stuff. Yeah. I mean, they almost have to at this point, right? You have to step up. You're right. We only have so many people on this fucking roster that can work. You know, when I say so many people that can work, it's, you know, just numbers. Like, you know, they aren't really unable to bring in people. So they got to step up. So, yeah, I would agree. Low-key, good year. I don't want to say great year. Good year.
Now, as far as World Tag League goes, I mean, let's just look at the standings. Oh, no, actually, before we do that, have your predictions for the final Best of the Super Junior changed at all? I'm still going for a Hiromu El Phantasmo final.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. Again, Yo fucks over show.
Mm-hmm.
ELP, Hiromu. Hiromu gets the win. It's got to be that. I can't imagine anything else. Again, I said it last week. I really feel like they're just trying to get from point A to point B. They just got to get to the dome. They just got to get to the dome. Hit a reset button. Do something. Find a way. And I know that, again, I said it last week as well. I know they had a ton planned. Man, they are fucking sweating it. This company is sweating it. Because if they can't do what they want to do, they got to have a plan B, and they probably have to have a plan C. And I don't know if everybody's going to be thrilled with plan Bs and Cs. Let's put it that way.
Well, let's talk about World Tag League then. And this is going to be a lot briefer than my Best of the Super Juniors analysis, because it's World Tag League. I'd be lying if I said I've been watching every card from start to finish. But looking at the points, at least, at the top, we've got a four-way tie with Okan and Hinare, Taichi and Zach, Naito and Sanada, and Goto and Yoshihashi on 14 points. And they're not all going to be wrestling each other on the final night, actually. Mm-hmm. Final night, because it feels like a sort of four-way playoff there. Two of those teams will be wrestling each other. So Yoshihashi and Goto will be against Dangerous Techers.
Right.
But the LIJ boys, Naito Sanada, are going to be wrestling against House of Torture, so Yujiro and Evil. And Hinari and Okan will be wrestling against Guerrillas of Destiny, who surprisingly are already eliminated. Yeah, well, it's a big shock because I thought they'd be in the mix. We got Farley and Chase Owens on 12 points, which is really quite a high total. I wasn't expecting that much from them. I don't know if this is a thanks for getting on the plane, have some points kind of rewards, but they were effectively eliminated last night by, I think it was Goto and Yoshihashi. And Evil and Yujiro also on 12 points. Tanahashi, Yano on 10. Guerrillas of Destiny only on 10, so they're out. Tenkozy on 4. Nagata, Tiger Mask on 2. Makabe and Honma on 2. And Suzuki and Takumi Shinoku with 0 points.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I think my biggest talking point was going to be Guerrillas of Destiny eliminated this early. That's a shock, isn't it?
Yeah, I think just historically, them in the mix of the tag scene kind of winds up being, now what do you do with them? Right? Now what? You would assume they would remain as a tag, right? Or is it time? Is it time for them to go the separate ways? Have a little singles run. You know, everybody was praising Tama Tonga. You know, saying how much they appreciated his singles work. Maybe this World Tag League was the nail in the coffin on G.O.D. Right? I think everybody would be okay with that, right?
Yeah, it's just strange just seeing that they still have matches against L.I.J. and United Empire coming up in the tournament. So it just seems weird to eliminate them before those two huge matches.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes them kind of, I don't want to say meaningless, because they could still play the spoiler role. And I think they will to a certain degree. But yeah, I just think that's a little bit more of, okay, I think we're done with G.O.D. I think I'm looking forward to that. I would look forward to a true legitimate singles run. But it does lead to, okay, so now what do we do with them for three big shows? Are we doing, like, unless G.O.D. is going for the tag titles, why would anybody be interested? Why would anybody care? You do have the never six mans, but okay. It does seem weird. What do you do with a tag team that doesn't really have a belt to chase?
Something else that was pointed out to me by Harley Duncan from VOW is the fact that a big match that I had circled on the calendar, one to watch out for, LIJ against Dangerous Techers.
Yeah.
They put that one on VOD with no commentary.
Yeah.
Which seemed very strange. But Harley pointed out maybe they did that deliberately because we're going to be seeing it again soon, either as a final for this tournament or at Wrestle Kingdom.
Good point. We probably will, right? We would. That would be the marquee matchup if we're looking at tags. The two tag teams that people care about the most, aside from United Empire. Maybe United Empire and GOD. Who knows? What the fuck? Yeah. But that would make sense. That's a good point. Why give away the goose? Yeah, when we're going to see it in just a couple weeks anyway, for real. So, yeah, good point.
I did enjoy, actually, just a little moment with LIJ against Tenkozy. After LIJ had won the match, Naito mercilessly trolling Tenzan with a towel, like pretending to be a matador, this big shitty grin on his face, just waving the towel at him. Yeah. Grumpy Tenzan just like walking around yelling at him. That tickled me. I enjoy Naito when he's being a dickhead.
Tenzan the bull. The bull.
I mean, that is it as far as my analysis of the World Tag League goes. Have you got any hot takes about this?
Please, Joel. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And
if it was on its own, then maybe I'll be able to give you a bit more. But the fact that it's together with Best of the Super Juniors and all the other shit I've got going on in my life means I'm not able to use my brain to give you anything, any brilliant insight. And maybe there's not that much.
It's really not. I mean,
it's a pretty.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't get blood from a stone, Joel. And it's every year. It's every year. Mm-hmm. And I would say that from a viewing standpoint, it might not be that bad, right? In the sense of, you know, sometimes it's good to have both going on at the same time. For whatever reason, it's just, I feel like Best of the Super Juniors almost always outshines World Tag League until you get to like the last night. Like the finals match is always going to be good. And I would even think some of the semifinals are going to be really good too. So I think there's going to be much. Those nights will be good on both sides of the wall, juniors and World Tag League. I think both of those nights will be really good, and I think people will be more invested. It's these night sevens, night eights, just, you know, people don't feel they're important, and they're not. And because, again, there's no angles, there's no setups, there's no nothing that's earth-shattering where if you miss it, you know, you're falling behind. You be just fine. Watch the good matches at the end.
So with these four teams that are tied on 14 points, so Okan, Hinare, Taichi and Zack, Naito, Sanada, Goto and Yoshihashi, which two of those do you think would make sense as finalists? Because I'm assuming that Dangerous Techers are still going to have the tag titles as we go into Wrestle Kingdom, so they will be defending them. So I would be tempted to take them out of the finals equation. And I think they will be defending against LIJ. Just from that VOD thing, I think Taichi and Zack versus Naito Sanada
at Wrestle Kingdom.
Maybe we see that again at Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah, so which makes me think Naito Sanada in the final against either Goto Yoshihashi or Okan Hinare. And I'm finding it really hard to pick between the two. I would love it to be Okan Hinare just to get a fresh coat of paint. And, you know, Okan and Naito have got a bit of history there. But we did see that in the tournament fairly recently, I want to say. And it was
okay.
It wasn't hidden away.
Yeah.
Let's put it like that, which you know, this VOD thing has made me think, I'm sort of looking for clues now, sort of thinking, which other big matches were put on VOD? But my brain doesn't want to do that at 6:15 in the morning. So which two of these teams do you see going through to the final?
Not Techers, right? So Techers are defending. So that frees the way. Whoever beats Techers gets a title shot over and above Wrestle Kingdom, you would think, right? So it kind of sets that up. Which I wouldn't be surprised if United Empire have a say in that. So yeah, I might go. That would be the brackets would work out that way, right? Would work out with United Kingdom against Naito and Sonata, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I kind of. That's what I'm kind of looking at. Because somebody's got to get a big win over the tag team champions, right, to make it to the finals. That's got to be. I would think that's United, right? I would think, right?
Let me see if they already wrestled each other.
That's okay.
See,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they already beat Dangerous Techers.
Oh, then that's that. People screaming in their cars. They already did it. Well, I don't know if I could do it again. I mean,
Who cares? It's the World Tag League. Just let us know what the final is.
All right, but here's the thing, too. I mean, again, I think it's important to point out that somebody's got to beat Techers, because it's not going to be Techers in the finals. They're already going to Wrestle Kingdom. But, you know, they're defending the titles. So I think it's important who beats them in the finals.
Their remaining two matches, they've got Tiger Mask and Yuji Nagata coming up today. Or was that yesterday? No, that was yesterday. No, I'm confused now. See, this is what I mean about them not updating the fucking website. Yeah, no, that was yesterday. Okay, so let's see. Come on, New Japan, you've got to sort this out and make me click on links that have for shows that have already happened.
You know what my favorite soccer team is? Charlton.
They've got Yoshihashi and Goto still to wrestle.
Yeah. You think they make it?
They might. I mean, why the fuck not?
Yeah, why not?
Also, Dangerous Techers have got Honma and Makabe. And they're not losing that.
Yeah, they're not losing that. You would hope not. I'll tell you what, if they lose to them, they're definitely losing the straps of the fucking dome.
Okay, well, here you go. This Thursday show is mildly interesting in terms of the standings, because LIJ have got Tiger Mask and Nagata, so LIJ definitely winning. They are going to be on 16 points. Okay. Dangerous Techers against Honma Makabe, so they're winning, so they're going to be on 16 points. Right. And then the main event of this is Yoshihashi Goto against Hinari and Okan, which looks like a eliminator there.
Yeah.
So it looks like by the time you're listening to this,
this is already decided.
Will be out.
Yeah. Who's
which
winning?
Would mean then? Oh gosh. You know what? I've talked myself into being excited for this main event.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It's a real coin flip. I'm going to lean towards Hinari and Okan, because just for the freshness, I think you want to give Okan something good to do at. Finals, at least. I was going to say Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Don't think they're going to win the tournament.
No. I'd be shocked. But yeah, okay. Now, you know what, though? Can we say this out loud? That would be the freshest thing to do. Because you could put Naito in a singles match and not miss a beat. That could be against anybody with a name. Hinare and Cobb. Hinare and Okan, they kind of need each other at this point, right? You're not going to put them in big-time singles. You're going to put Hinare in a big-time singles match at Wrestle Kingdom? They kind of need each other. So you got them a big spot on the show, challenging for the titles, right? Naito, we could put against fucking anybody, and it'd be great, right? So he's a big name. Boy, I really do think I might have to change my mind and say United Kingdom does it, but maybe I just talked myself
Empire.
Into it.
United Empire.
Yeah, but what do I keep calling them? What do I say?
You said United Kingdom. That's the country where I'm from.
They're going to challenge, right?
Both full of bad guys, though. Yeah.
The representative from Birmingham.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm into this. I mean, this main event tomorrow against Yoshihashi Goto, that could be where we find out. Are New Japan serious about this?
Yeah,
Hinari Okan tag team.
It really does. That's a good point. That's where we really do find out that. But look at us! Look at us getting pumped up for World Tag League, huh? So we could do it.
Fuck. Look at us!
Look at us!
Who'd have thought?
Who would have thought? Not me.
Okay, I want to talk about Strong. If you're done with World Tag League,
sure. I would love to talk about Josh Barnett rolling around on a ring for 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, first match. This is Detonation. Leo Rush and Adrian Quest defeating Bateman and Mysterioso. Glad to see Adrian Quest back. He's a guy who I think when we're looking at free travel again, I would not be against seeing him in the Best of Super Juniors. I think he's a really fun wrestler. Got a good high flying moveset, which would be entertaining, I think, for Japanese fans. Second match, Alex Coughlin Open Challenge Series. So Josh Barnett defeats Alex Coughlin in 11 minutes 47 seconds by cross state. But okay, so all right, you go first then. The floor is yours.
I'm going right now. Sheep, 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 sheep,
sheep, sheep, sheep. That sounds like Tommy Wiseau from The Room doing a chicken impression. You really hated this match, huh?
Oh, I was bored out of my fucking skull with it. Look, here's what it did. It made me appreciate Zach so much because Zach incorporates pro wrestling and grappling and all that and adds pro wrestling elements into this. This was Snoo City. Woo! Oh, boy. I'm not going to lie. I was bored out of my mind with it. And on paper, it sounds sexy, right? Oh, it sounds fantastic. I was bored to tears. I hate to be negative Nancy. Bored to fucking tears.
Well, I like this. I thought it was different. It's not the kind of match that you usually see in New Japan. It's less of a pro wrestling match and more of a Josh Barnett Bloodsport style match.
Yeah.
So seeing Alex Coughlin doing stuff like this is unique for New Japan, at least. But, you know, even if you hated the match, which I didn't, I liked it because it was different. But that said, if all of the matches were like this, I would get bored quite quickly, I think. It's important to look at the way Alex Coughlin is being booked and placed with these unique matches. You know, he's out of a singles match with Josh Barnett. Josh Barnett's first New Japan match for, you know, God knows how long. Handpicked for a singles match against Jonathan Gresham. So he really is. He's the blue chip prospect in the company right now. He's getting these handpicked opponents. Josh Barnett put him over massively in the post-match talk, and he's having these matches in a style that I think is very different to everyone else. It might not be for everyone, but I like it at least, just for the freshness of it. And I think the company are really, really keen on Alex Coughlin. He seems like the golden boy of the LA Dojo cohort at the moment.
That, yes, I would agree with. I actually was my mind was kind of racing a little bit back to, you know, if you're going to use Josh Barnett, don't you do the one money match that you possibly could?
Right. Yeah, and I will come on to that when we discuss the main event.
All right.
But yes, I think if they don't put that, that will be foolish.
I mean, that's 3 years in the making.
They definitely won't do it.
No, that's not happening. Right, why would they do it? Who remembers that shit? You know what I mean? Like, who remembers Long Beach and JR? Remember JR? Remember good old JR? Not knowing anybody's fucking name? Reading things off a piece of paper, mixing up masks, not knowing his ass from a fucking hole in the ground.
Do you remember Juice Robinson? Do you remember when he was a thing?
Yeah, I sure do. I remember that?
I'm probably going to be spoiling this, but with the malevolent influence of Booze Leprechaun, I've joined the Voices of Wrestling Secret Santa, where you have to anonymously give someone a wrestling match to watch and review. You've taken part in it before, David.
I did before, yeah.
And again, with the influence of booze, I have gifted someone Juice Robinson and Enzo going to a time limit draw from some indie show in a high school gymnasium earlier this year because I wanted to ruin someone's Christmas.
You're a good man. You know what? This is why we are pals, because you are fucking the greatest. Because
it was between that and a Monday Night Raw match between Dean Malenko and Lita, where they just book Dean Malenko to look basically like a sex pest. It's awful.
Oh.
But there's so much problematic content packed into just a 6-minute video that I might send it to you. It's really something. It's just that's like 2001 WWF in a nutshell. But we went with Juice and Enzo in the end.
Wow. I was watching now what I wanted gifted just because of the recentness of it, and I remember being there at the time. And it not being a bad match. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. It was Luna Vachon against Stevie Richards in a cage from ECW. It was pretty good. But I was watching Dark Side of the Ring, and they had the Luna Vachon story. I probably would have got that. But that's you, that Juice Enzo, 60 minute?
15 minute.
15 minute. Okay, thank God. That would have been awesome if it was 60. If you would have said yes, I think I would have shit my pants right here and now. I'd be sitting in my own feces if you said 60 minutes. By the way, I'm turning – never mind. I'm not even telling you how old I am. I just talked about sitting in my own feces, which given my birthday coming around the corner, that's not too far off.
Oh dear. Okay, third match here was Jonah making his New Japan debut.
Jonah Hill?
Absolutely.
Is the star of Super?
I don't know why he's dropped The Rock. Why is he not Jonah Rock anymore? I don't get it.
Can't stop The Rock.
Anyway, he destroyed Lucas Riley in 6 minutes with the tsunami, and he looked like a monster here. It's just a good old-fashioned squash match, like literally a squash match. He squashed him at the end. Yeah. And I'm so happy this was in front of a crowd where you could get that great reaction for the tsunami, the big top rope splashes it at the end, which is a basic move in pro wrestling, but quite rightly presented as absolute death,
yeah.
Not least by Kevin Kelly, who did a tremendous job putting it over. He was like, no, no! And yeah, Lucas Riley absolutely played his part. And I can't wait to see Jonah and TMDK. Let's get Shane Hayes, Mikey Nichols. Let's get them all back in Japan, reunite the boys. And I think they could really shake things up. And I thought, yeah, very good debut from Jonah. Simple, but did exactly what it needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're not signing anybody the 2-year deals anytime soon, I would think. But I would think he would be on a list to be used quite frequently. Hopefully he doesn't get scooped up by somebody else. But yeah, that was a very nice debut. Absolutely.
And the main event was Yuya Uemura and Alex Zane defeated by the tag team of Hikuleo and some guy called Jason, Jamie Black. No, Jamie White.
Johnny White.
That was it.
No, yeah. That wasn't it. I think.
What are we doing here? What? It just.
Go ahead.
We've said it so many times, but it's just like treading water in the doldrums, waiting for what? What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for a contract to run out? Are we waiting for a green card to arrive? I don't know. Quite frankly, Tim, I don't care anymore. It's a shit or get off the pot situation, and we talked about this a million times. If I'm booking New Japan of USA, and I knew Jay White was going to be there for 3 quarters of the year, fucking monkey at a typewriter could come up with something more compelling than this big old sack of nothing.
Right.
Like, what is going on here? Do you think this is filler booking for a guy that they're just waiting on the green light to get back into Japan? Or do you think this is killing time until a contract runs out and he fucks off to another company?
Well, if they booked that way, they could do that for countless guys, right? They would have done that for Nakamura, for crying out loud. Even though that was kind of a little bit of a, I want to say blindside, but it kind of took everybody by surprise. Anywho, but they knew kind of, anyway. No, this is just, they're walking around with their thumbs up their ass. You know he's not coming back to Japan anytime soon. All the stop and start stuff, I know, we talked about it 1,000 times, and it's gotten to the point where it's just mind-numbing. Boy, I just can't imagine. It feels like it was ages ago, that fucking promo at the Wrestle Kingdom. It feels like it was ages ago. I
feel like the most disappointing category in our NXT Awards is lockdown here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although there's a lot to pick from in 2021.
Yeah, it really is. I think that's it. I think it's this, the absolute flame being extinguished on the interest in Jay White. And listen, I know we're going to get people to be like, I still love Jay White. Switch play forever.
It's not his fault. We're not necessarily blaming him.
No.
We don't know whose fault it is. Yeah. But does it matter at the end of the day? The point is,
it is what it is.
The greatest wrestler into the world to nothing.
Yeah. This is where we are. I mean, I blame the company more than I blame him. That's for sure. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I just know that you're going to be in the States for a long, long fucking time. You got one of the most interesting, talented, compelling characters in all of pro wrestling. Hot as fuck. And this is what we've got not for a month, not for 3 months, not for 6 months, a fucking year? And we challenge and we have a conversation with Kenny Omega over the Bullet Club that goes nowhere. Wow.
Yet, maybe there might be something to it in the future.
Right.
We don't know.
Okay. Why?
But I'd forgotten it happened until you mentioned it, to be honest.
Yeah. Trust me, I forget every once in a while, and I'm just like, it just like hits me like a ton of bricks. Like, oh yeah, that did happen this year. Good fucking Lord. All right, maybe it happens. We'll see.
Okay, well, that's it from the wrestling side. I just wanted to have one off-topic question before I get
ready for
work.
I'm
going to be quick here. Mint says, an audio review from Joel of the new Games Master series, please. And Rob says, Trevor McDonald as Games Master. Is Joel pants up or pants down? That is my question. So I didn't know that Games Master had come back. For those who don't know, it was a UK TV show in the early 90s about video games, basically. And anyone of my generation probably know it and loved it. And I think it stopped being broadcast in, it must have been about sort of 97, 98, something like that. But it recently came back on E4. They just did a 3-episode series. And I didn't know about it. I only found out about it from listening to a Games Master podcast called Under Consultation. So anyone who's into it, definitely check it out. I thought it was fantastic. Really great. I thought Trevor McDonald is hilarious and perfect fit as a Games Master. Trevor McDonald is an old UK news broadcaster, but he's like projected on the screen, like his head is all massive and he's the Games Master and setting all these challenges to people to play different games. And just the third episode, the final episode that I watched last night in the bath, was one of the most joyful TV viewing experiences I've had in recent memory. It was just like 45 minutes of just absolute happiness. I had a big smile on my face. I thought they've absolutely nailed what I enjoyed about Games Master and really just captured the essence of the show, but also bringing something new to it and updating it for a more modern audience. So I thought it was brilliant. Strongly recommend anyone to check it out. So when you finish listening to this podcast, get on YouTube, search for Games Master, and enjoy.
Speaking of games, I got that video game console I was telling you about, that handheld, the Abernick thing. I showed you that.
Yeah, what have you been playing? Talk to us.
All right, I'll tell you exactly what I've been. I do know. Besides NHL 94, 95, 96, because I always play those. I've been playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, of course, because I always play that. But there is this fucking video game. Oh, what was it? I got to turn on the system to fucking, like, you're this girl. It's a Japanese import. You're this girl on this. It's like you're in this haunted but deranged, like, theme park. And it's like, it's a scrolling shooter. And I'm powering this fucking thing up because I just got to remember the name. Because I've been playing it forever. And it's just like a rapid fire. You're just blasting all these fucking things. All right, let me see if I can find it. Give me one second. I know this is compelling radio. But if you can find a ROM of this, it's well worth your time and my time as well, Joel. It is. Oh, let me go back. Sorry, Joel. Okay, here we go. It is called. All right. So here are the games I have from the PlayStation emulator. Twisted Metal 2 is okay. I like that. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. There's a video game called Rayman. Rayman. He's like a wormy kind of guy. It's pretty good. Again, this is from a person who doesn't play a lot of video games. So Hot Shots Golf 2, love. The name of the game.
We're at the edge of our seat.
I know.
I'm going to be late for work.
I'm sorry.
What the name of this game is.
It's called Harmful Park. Harmful Park. Harmful Park. It's called Harmful Park.
Is that W.H. Park's?
It's W.H. Park.
English alter ego. Yes. And he joins House of Torture.
Yes.
Harmful Park.
Harmful W.H. Park is what the name of the game is. Look it up on YouTube. I'm sure you can do reviews and tutorials and all that shit. It's super colorful. It's really fucking, really great for someone with like attention deficit disorder like myself. It's fucking perfect. But yes, I would recommend that. Harmful Park.
All right, that will do for today then. So redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast if you want to give us some money. Very much appreciated. Discord link, if you want it, DM me on Twitter. I will happily give you one. At Cobra Kawaii and ProWrestlingTees.com/super-j-cast if you want one of our great t-shirts in time for Christmas. Big thanks to Editor Dan. Find him on Twitter at LousyHero219. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. And keep an eye on the website for that Secret Santa series. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes to help us move up the charts. Follow us on Twitter at SuperJCast. Thank you everyone for listening and goodbye.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.